You know, there's a reason that they say check the fine print, check the fine details, because there are things in there that you might not be completely aware of. And even though I really am an amateur's amateur, I'm going to take a look into the language of that constitutional initiative. We've got some ballot statement language, but the actual language of this abortion rights constitutional amendment, we talked about it a little bit. It's very, very subjective. So going to look into that a little bit today. And then, of course, EV batteries for all. EV batteries for the world. How about that? Got open phones today. What's on your mind? Give me a call. How about it for Voices of Montana?
I'll take one or two. It's time for the fastest hour in radio from Montana for Montana. Voices of Montana with Tom Schultz. Call in today at 866-627-5483 or text a comment or question to 781-627-5483. And now, here's your host, Tom Schultz.
Yeah, we think things might work, and at that point, then we're done. Let's just go with it. EV batteries for all, and I'm ready.
A side note, those are kind of spendy, so that's why I'll take two just for banking.
You won't even get one. What? Because there's not enough material in the world to pull off what they're thinking that they can do. I'm sure they're thinking about this again. Hey, welcome. It is from Montana for Montana, Voices of Montana. Open phones, and yeah, I'll probably start grumbling a little bit about our energy policy because there is nothing coherent about it, but I really don't have a ton of that on my plate. Well, we did talk about it today a little, this week a little bit when, freight trains for EV batteries. I got another thing I'm going to get into, but this is just sort of in passing. And maybe, I don't know, I sit here and really try to talk about we can do a better job. If we're transitioning to a more carbon-friendly energy society, good, great. I think we all want that. But let's transition with wisdom and then make the math add up. And that's just not doing this with all these mandates. This freight train story. Lena Kent was from BNSF. Is from BNSF Railway and was on the program earlier this week. And there's a new rule out of California that by a certain date, they're looking at 2030, those railroads can no longer be using diesel automotives that are like past 20-some years old or to that effect. What they're really trying to get at, though, is by 2035 that all of the freight train cargo in California – if it's to be hauled by a freight train, it has to be an electric freight train. And the technology is so far away. I've read a couple of stories, and here was the point I was going to make. And we can talk more about it, too. It rankles me to no end that they're pushing this agenda without the basis behind it and not really fully informing the public of the consequences of some of these mandates. Number one, I've already talked about it a ton. I'm going to finish this point here. I looked at a couple of stories about electric freight trains and where are they? Is there anything out there that's working right now? And this was, of course, The Guardian. It's a very, very liberal publication out of Great Britain. And they wrote a story about a company out of Pennsylvania that said, full steam ahead for electric freight trains. Well, you go into that story, and there is no information about how much a freight train powered by a battery could haul or for how long. There's a reason they don't report that. It's because it's not feasible. It's not a feasible figure. And Lena Kent, I appreciate her coming on as well, noted that. She said, we are working – and this is in California as well. And, man, there is some just crazy stuff that comes out of there. But she said we tried this and it was unsuccessful. Reading very, very unsuccessful. And I kind of pressed in on it a little bit. Well, how far did it go? It didn't really go at all. It's just freight train and electric battery powers. I get that you think that you're – whoever you are who thinks that, we're going to die if we don't go back to the Stone Ages, I get that there's a push toward this, all right? But this let's look at what's going to work and what's not going to work, and then walk through this transition a little more slowly and with a little more common sense as well. You know, again, that was the only point I wanted to make there, is that if they had actual evidence that these trains are working, another thing that they didn't talk about either is that potentially if they're going to make these trains work through battery power, those batteries are real, real heavy. And granted, a freight train in itself, a diesel freight train, is going to be very, very heavy. But those tracks can only stand so much, and they've got to make the technology to fit our infrastructure. And it's just not happening. It's just flat out not happening. And they pretend to report that, oh, look at this, full steam ahead for electric freight trains, and they're not given the full information on it because it's not very impressive, not impressive at all. And to that end, I'll get to this constitutional amendment here in just a little bit. But Warren, listening in Libby, Warren, good to hear from you again. I hope things are good at KTNY land and up in the far northwestern Montana. Thanks for calling, sir.
Good morning, Montana. As far as freight trains go, the Milwaukee Road used to run through Montana all the way from Milwaukee, of course, to the coast. And a lot of that was electric powered.
Yeah.
They used electricity when it was more efficient than diesels. And that's point number one. Point number two is when COVID hit and there was hundreds of ships docked outside of or anchored outside of Long Beach, it created new ports on the East Coast, a couple there in Texas. If California goes doing this, and the freight's going to go to those other states.
Yeah.
And it's not going to help them at all. So they don't have
common sense. You know, they don't have any sense in that country. I didn't mean to finish that for you.
Some of their people take their power, their job too far. You know, their power goes to their head. So they're going to it's going to backfire.
Warren, do you think we can get to a more carbon-friendly future? Or what will it take for us to get to a more carbon-friendly future, in your mind, without upsetting everybody's apple cart and you know, letting them sit and rotten on the ground?
Well, there's several technologies out there that have been surpassed. I've read books on the subject that they wouldn't publish here in America. They made 100 miles to the gallon carburetors when cars only got 10 miles to the gallon, and stuff like that's been surpassed. There's hydrogen technology and stuff like that.
So you think we can get there?
Yeah.
Okay. What's keeping us back?
Just, I think, a lot of regulations. When I was in the Navy, for example, the submarines had two nuclear reactors, which the reactors were the size of a garbage can, and that submarine could go around the world several times for years on that technology. And there is safer different type of reactors as well.
Beautiful. Batteries are not the only solution here. They're not the only option to a more carbon-friendly energy sector. And right now they're just forcing this as the only option, and I don't know why. I have some suspicions. Number one, people have said this, and I feel that way too. It's not necessarily about the environment. It's about control. And the things that are adding up point more and more to that direction. There's a lot of, I think, examples for that as well, but this, our transportation sector, just completely to electrify that. It's number one. One consideration is it's a very, very minimal effect on greenhouse gas and warming. At a very tremendous cost with minimal effect, a lot of people in business or in the household or in first grade would say, that doesn't really add up. What else can we do out here to accomplish our goals? And this is where I'd like to see this push. Warren, I appreciate your call. Frank, stand by, and Evergreen as well. Warren, got any final thoughts?
Another thing, too, is a lot of these older homes and stuff are not very well insulated. You drive around in the first frost. A lot of homes, some of them, you can even count the trusses because there's no insulation in the attic or very little. So if guys did stuff like that, that would save on electric. And there's rebates. Our utilities have rebates for for energy efficient insulation, efficient windows, heat pumps, and so forth. And our grid's undersized the way it is with these electric cars ain't going to help. The wire leaving your house is the size of your index finger. A lot of times the wires out in the street are the size of your pinky that heat up when there's a demand and there's a lot of power lost in the grid. So electric cars ain't going to help any.
Good stuff. I mean, you're discussing exactly what needs to be discussed out there. All those options to be considered to get us from A to B. And where is that on Capitol Hill? Well, or from the White House. The White House has just turned into Big Brother because everything they do now is they try to go around Congress. Of course, they have the courts on their side. But it's just mandates. It's just a stroke of a pen, and it's not good policy. It's not good policy that way. Hey, Warren, thanks for your call. Frank in Evergreen, let's go to you as well. I know you called the other day, Frank, and we just didn't have time to get it on, so I appreciate your patience there, fine gentlemen. And what do you got going?
Oh, I wanted to talk about the coal-fired plants, the mills there in that create the steel in Michigan. They're trying to get away from that into a more expensive process of a green process. But meanwhile, on the other side of the world, China is using coal, which is a lot more economical to do. So that's why they're beating the world at the game of making good quality steel. So, and Biden, here he's always complaining it's unfair that our government is subsidizing their industry. Well, Canada does the same thing here. My gosh, the community college here in Kalispell, that was all built with Canadian lumber. Didn't help with the local economy here. Anyway, It's a game that goes on, and it's always been going on. So.
You're right. Yeah. But we're at a critical point now. Frank, I appreciate that. Did you have any comments about smog?
Oh, yeah. I mean, definitely. Wait till summer comes around and the ambient temperature outside reaches about 70 degrees, and the sun is the catalyst for all that fuel in the area that you don't see right now. And then the flyovers of the jets taking off and then decelerating, dumping their fuel. It's a lot of fuel up there. And it's look at your windshield wipers as they start deteriorating more often because of the buildup of the ozone gas layers.
I thought that was just because my last name was Schultz.
No, but no. Hey, and then when the forest fire season starts up, look at all the carbon in the air again. It's everywhere.
Yeah.
We just have to get used to it.
Well, or manage it. I mean, and we've come a long ways. Frank, I appreciate that as well. I think we've come a long ways, and there have been a lot. Like I said, most people are not going to fight the ideal of this transition, but how we get there, it involves everybody. And I don't know. Cody, go ahead. Yeah, thank you. Yeah, by the way, you're going to have to pick a song of the week this week, okay? This is going to come from Cody Ross. He's looking at me kind of funny, which I'm used to by now. All right, I do got to get this break in, and then, give me a call. If you got some more on energy here, too, it's important to us all. I'm going to get back to this CI-128 and what's in that real language when we come on back with more. From Montana for Montana, Voices of Montana.
What's more dangerous than trying to move a 1,400-pound cow? Not much. In fact, every job in ag work is risky, and that makes ag safety essential. Things like handling chemicals properly, working with livestock, ATV and equipment safety. It's all at safemt.com. Start with our farm assessment, then use our downloads to learn how to work safely and get home to the people you really work for. Ag Safety from Montana State Fund at safemt.com.
Hey, are you looking for a great place to stay when you're headed to Billings, Montana? Stay at the Boot Heel Inn and Suites in Billings Heights. Telephone number 406-245-2000. Seriously, whether you're driving a semi-truck, a pickup and a horse trailer, or your family car, the Boot Heel Inn has easy accessible parking, a hot complimentary breakfast, and free internet. Stay at the Boot Heel Inn and Suites. 406-245-2000.
Nicely done, beef. From London broils and French dips to New York strips and Texas briskets. Who knew you were so well-traveled? Yeah, you're what's for dinner. And it's always dinner somewhere. Bring everyone back to the table and get cooking at Beef. It's what's for dinner.com.
Brought to you by the Montana Beef Council with consented beef checkoff dollars.
We've all been there. The sinking feeling when autocorrect sabotages your message just as you hit send.
No.
Or when you hear those dreaded words.
For customer service, press or say one.
With Pacific Source Health Plans, you don't have to worry about technology failing you. That's because we serve members with humans, not automated phone trees.
Visit PacificSourceMembersFirst.com to learn more.
The U.S. Senate rejected both impeachment articles against Homeland Security Secretary Alejandro Mayorkas Wednesday. Republican Senator Steve Daines voted for impeachment, while Democrat John Tester voted against it. The 51-49 vote came after 3 hours of deliberations, ending the Senate impeachment trial against Mayorkas over his handling of the southern border. Data from the Department of Agriculture shows feral swine have yet to make their way into Montana, but that doesn't mean the state is letting its guard down. Wednesday, the Montana Invasive Species Council spoke with officials from Saskatchewan who have been dealing with the problem for years. So far, all reports of feral swine investigated in Montana have proven to be domestically owned pigs. The Montana Department of Transportation reports it has not yet met its most recent goal of reducing the 0-5 five-year rolling average of fatalities. According to a new ranking by Forbes magazine, Montana is still number one in the nation for drunk driving. With Montana News headlines and the Northern News Network, I'm Brian Bennett.
I'm Jenny Stovall, born and raised in eastern Montana. I'm a fourth-generational Montanan rancher. As a community, we need to realize that we are all a human. We're not superhuman, and that it's okay to be sad some days or need help or ask for help, and that's why we're here, is to help each other. We're secluded and we're isolated, and in order to keep our sanity, we need to help each other out. So if you know anyone that needs help, please send them to beyondtheweather.com for free counseling for farmers and ranchers.
Getting ready to take on spring? Make your first move with the reliable performance and power of Steel battery tools. From hedge trimmers and mowers to string trimmers and more, save on select Steel battery tools. Right now, save $50 on the HSA 50 battery hedge trimmer set. Real Steel. Find yours at steeldealers.com. With AK-10 battery and AL-101 charger. Offer valid for a limited time only while supplies last. See participating dealer for details.
866-627-5483 or alert 781-627-5483 on the text line. Love to hear from you today. Try to save Thursdays for open phones next week, next Thursday. We'll probably switch that up a little bit. We'll be talking about homelessness in Montana. I mean, it's a situation that's gotten a little bit worse. And my apologies to Cody. I was teasing him a little bit. Are you ready to go?
It's all right.
It's okay. So I put you on the spot with a song of the week, so to speak.
Yeah.
It's your turn.
Okay.
Yeah. And
get ready. Got that island feel to it, man. You know what I say.
I knew you were going to do this, man.
Yeah. Mick's giving us the...
Is that right?
Yeah.
Yeah, Andy's going to come in here pretty soon with a lighter and, you know, yeah, that's good. Hear the children crying, yep. give thanks and praise to the Lord, and I will feel all right. Well, thank you, Bob Marley, for that, and Cody as well.
Yeah. You're welcome.
If you got a little song you want us to play or that has some meaning to you, music can do that and say things that words can't. I mean, that's part of the joy of it and the charm of it. 866-627-5483 is the phone number. And then 781-627-5483 on that text line. Yes. Okay, this is difficult. And I'm not at all, and I'm learning more about our Constitution as we go along. I think everybody who's interested in government does. And, it's not like you can learn it all in one day or one week or one issue. It kind of, there's a lot of things when you look at law and language and constitution. So I say that to say I probably am not the best analyst. Well, I know I'm not the best analyst on these sorts of things and maybe leave some things out. But when we talked about this new constitutional amendment to ban abortions, or actually it's to create a right to an abortion in the Montana Constitution, this was a couple of weeks ago after the Supreme Court. Actually, the Supreme Court wrote the ballot statement. They have the authority to do that. They didn't like the one that came down from the Attorney General's office. I didn't mind it. But Austin Knutson is very much pro-life, and I don't think he's going to try to do anything to help. Of course, he's bound legally here too. But this is the ballot statement here, okay? CI 128, and this was the language that was approved by the Montana Supreme Court. They wrote this language, and now it is there. So when you go out and those folks from CI 128 are trying to get you to sign on their petition, they need, 60,000 and change signatures, 10% of the voters in each of 40 legislative districts. And it's not easy, but there's a lot of belief that they'll get that done. We're fighting this battle once again on the state level. I believe that's where it belongs. And this group, it's Planned Parenthood is what it is, and they're not just doing this in Montana, it's Florida, it's other states as well, and they are purposely, in my mind, keeping very subjective language in this, very loose language to try to codify the right to an abortion, which could take you anywhere. And there's some examples in Montana that bear that out. But here's the language, CI 128, not the language, this ballot statement. And this is what most people are going to see before they decide to sign on to this initiative or not. There are two pages of it. And before I even read this, you can find the actual ballot language, not the ballot statement, but the actual constitutional language, the text of CI 128 that, if passed, would be inserted into our state constitution. It's not the ballot statement that you'll get familiar with if you're going to get on this issue. But you can go to the Secretary of State's office, SOSMT.gov, elections, ballot issues. You'll have to do a little searching. I mean, there's a lot on that site. Deal with a lot of elections, business stuff. It's full. And actually, I really think Christie's done a very good job for us. Christy Jacobson, our Secretary of State. So, and then it doesn't like really super present itself. You'll find the page. Again, it's ballot _ issues proposed 2024 ballot issues. We can't get this far in life without learning how to search, I guess. So I'm going to leave that at that. Find it. And then if you're looking for the exact language, it doesn't present itself super easily, but there is a link if you press CI 128, and there's a little graphic indicator, too, that it goes to a different box. And you'll come up with this language here and the exact text that would be inserted into the Constitution. So back. The government from denying or burdening the right to abortion before fetal viability. It would also prohibit the government from denying or burdening access to an abortion when a treating healthcare professional determines it is medically indicated to protect the pregnant patient's life or health. CI-128 prevents the government from penalizing patients, healthcare providers, or anyone who assists someone in exercising their right to make and carry out voluntary decisions about their pregnancy. That's the language from written by Montana's pretty very liberal Supreme Court. Go to the complete text of the initiative and read it and find out, you know, for yourself whether you think some of this language needs to be tightened up or whether there's, you know, there's warning signs in some of this. So here's section one of this. It's section 36, right to make decisions about pregnancy that would be inserted into our Constitution. Some of those technical things are just that, technical. But here it is. There is a right to make and carry out decisions about one's own pregnancy, including the right to abortion. This right shall not be denied or burdened unless justified by a compelling government interest achieved by the least restrictive means. Go back to that very first phrase there. There is a right to make and carry out decisions about one's own pregnancy. It doesn't specifically say when one is pregnant, when one is with child. It says you have decisions, a right to carry them out about your own pregnancy. Now, I'm going to, you know, probably say, yeah, we all should have rights and decisions about our own sovereignty. Abortion is a special case, and people have noted that. And it's very much a line. In my mind, it's a wider line, this lane that abortion is in. You know, there's extreme, and I don't even want to call them extreme. It's people who are firmly advocate their beliefs, and they're, it's immovable, and they still need to be considered in the debate. You just, as far as like an example would be someone who'd say, no matter the health of the mother, a baby has a superseding right to live. I don't want to call that extreme. It seems extreme, but I'm just going to say they're very, very firmly advocating their beliefs. This one I'm going to call extreme, though. It's on the far left side. And again, it's a law that was proposed in California. I looked at the language. It was suspect in some ways, subjective as well. But it would allow abortions post-viability. Now, pre-viability is a baby dependent upon the mother. Post-viability is where – and that's still – fetal viability needs to be defined a little bit better. I think it's a wider lane, though, as I say, for us – that's sort of a line that gets crossed, pre-viability and post-viability, and that needs to be defined rather well here. But the rule, again, I wish I could stop talking about California, but they are just leading the world in wacko legislation. This was, we had talked about as well, 28-day post-viability abortions. They wanted to codify the ability for a family, mother, or whatever, to make decisions about that child up to 28 days after it's born. It's just too far. It's just a stretch too far, okay? But they're firmly advocating those beliefs. I get that. So I'll come on back and get more into this language. And also, we got a call, so stand by for that, too. It's important for us to go through it, so we do that here today on Voices.
Voices of Montana continues right after this. We'll be right back.